Anyway, we're going to continue with our series called The Blessed Life. That's what all the people say. Riding high in April, shut down in May. Sorry. That's life. That's our series that we've been doing. The Blessed Life is another series that we've been doing there, Link Groups. And we've covered a lot of things in this one so far. We've covered spiritual health, because we have to learn what God's word says to get what we need to get to be healthy. And so that, I don't know whether you remember that sermon or that part of this teaching, but it was fantastic. There were 7 points in it. And if you want to know, am I spiritually healthy, or you want to get spiritually healthy, get that on the podcast and just look, there's the 7 things. Am I doing them? If you go to a gym and the gym instructor says, if you do these 7 things, you're going to be rocking. I was going to say rocking, huh? What have you know? You're just rocking. And you do them. You will see over a period of time the difference that it makes to do what the instructor says. And the instruction book that we've been given is the Bible. And we want to know what the master says, the maker says, the designer says. You read his book and you get to know. And we learn some things. And then there was physical health, which was, we just preached that one. I was sitting down in the back there. And I'm telling you, the physical health one, I don't know about you, but I felt a few slaps in the back of the head. And like, you know, because it wasn't just about getting physically healthy. But all the things that we have to understand is that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then there was mental health and how to have mental stability and mental health and what God has to say. Do you imagine that God has something to say about all these issues? And then there was emotional health. And I don't know. That was amazing. That was just amazing. I taught it out in Bray, and I taught mental out in Clondalkin. And you just get so much. For me, as a preacher, I'm like, this is amazing. If I can apply this to my life, I'll be a healthy man. Now God will say, no, that's life now. See that part of your emotional life? See the way you have joy and hope and peace? That's life. See the way you have healthy spiritual life? That's life. Because Jesus came. Here's what Jesus said. He hasn't come so we have a little bit of life in little bits of areas. Or what we did want this to be. When I became a Christian nearly 27 years ago, we were told everything has to be balanced. And then you think about this. And you know what it's like when you try to balance everything? Oh, there's the kid. There's the job. There's relationships, there's finances, mental, all that stuff. And you start juggling. And your life becomes this exhaustion of just trying to keep all the balls in the air. And then something comes out of left field, like another ball, like a tragic situation, the loss of a job, a loss of a family member. And all of a sudden, that's another one thrown in. And then other people throw their balls in. And then all of a sudden, there's an implosion. But Jesus never called us to have a balanced life. Jesus says, I have come so you may have life in all of its fullness. So in every aspect of my life, he has promised me fullness health, fullness of in relational health, mental health, emotional health, physical health, and all of this stuff. So I have to ask myself, when I read through stuff or hear stuff, it's not a condemnation trip. It's not like, well, look, I'm not really like healthy that way. And whatever. It's like, if we haven't got it in one area, he has called us to come to him. And to be just honest with him and go, Lord, I ain't got it. As my London friend said, I ain't got it. And that's all right to say I ain't got it, because you're going to the one who has got it. And has it in abundance. He's inexhaustible in his resource to you and me. So, wherever we are today, we can come to him and say, Lord, I ain't got it, but you have got it. And can I have it? That's weird. That's going to come out on this podcast, and people that are not here today, oh my God, that fella's losing his head. It's about mental health. He's singing, he's dancing, he's doing different accents, and it's still only 11:45. But anyway, this week's one is on relational health. And I didn't even know where this material was going to go with this, because I thought it was going to go and bang on about other areas that I probably would have used in relational health. But I really, really like where he's gone with this. He's talking about friendships and relationships in regards to being a friend or to having a friend. What the material is saying is that there's two types of friends. There's casual friends. So what are casual friends? They are usually the result of circumstances. You hear that? It's the kids. And so you're in work and you have a friendship, but it's based around the work. You know, it's based around that you go to a running club and you meet some casual friends now because of the circumstance that you're in. But intentional friends are the result of choices. It's choices that we make regarding having a friend and being a friend. And that's what we're going to cover in this area. It's about what type of friend should I be and what type of friend would I be looking for intentionally. And there's people in this world, like, just let me get this out of the way. There's people in this world that is going to be lonely people if we don't change the way we do friendships and we don't change the way we do relationships. My worst concern for anybody, including myself, I'd hate to live a life and die lonely. I would, I really would. I'd hate. And there's people that we can see, and you go, you know what, you're going to end up lonely if you don't just get that part of your life together. And not even lonely, you can be full of people and be lonely. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about people around you even. You can be at a football match with 70,000 people and be lonely, feel as lonely as that. And I don't know whether you've ever been there, but I've been there. But it's that quality of relationships that we build on and we hold on and we invest in is that means we won't be lonely. And people that will be lonely in life, lazy people will end up being lonely people. Don't be lazy in your friendships. Invest. Be active. Angry people. Put all my friends here now! Just in case we're going to sleep. And everything's full of anger. That just drives people away. People have grace for you. And the thing is, you don't want to be somebody that's just tolerated. You want to be in circles where you're celebrated. That's like, you know, it's like, oh, here's your man again. Mr. Angry Head. You don't want that. You want to be in friendships and relationships that, here's my friend, here's somebody that's going to bring something into my world, as opposed to immoral people, people that just don't care about any moral compass at all, will end up lonely. Because you know what you do? Birds of a feather do flock together. And all you do is create other people around you are attracted to you is people that are living the same. Greedy people, they're going to end up lonely. Manipulating people, manipulating friendships always ends up lonely. You go through dime a dozen. I have a friend, I'm telling you, she must have hundreds of friends, but just goes through. And the person just goes, I can't go there again. I just feel manipulated to do everything her way. And friendships just, they come and go like the wind. But the Bible has a lot to say about friendships, and that's what we're going to look at. Israel's wisest king, Solomon, said this in Proverbs 27:19. It says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he really is like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the type of friends that he chooses to have in his life. Because friends we choose reveal something about our character and what we value in life. So if I have a faithful friend and I choose a faithful friend, it's because faithfulness is a high value in my life. But if I intentionally go after a friendship that has other things in it, well, then I've allowed that to have a value in my life. Listen to what Solomon said as well. Now, Solomon is the wisest man that ever walked the earth. And he says this, the righteous choose their friends carefully. You can have acquaintances, you can have casual friendships everywhere in this world, but you choose your friends carefully. Because there's going to come a time in our life when we need that person to be all that we want them to be, whether we like her or not. When we're down, we're going to need someone that is really, really a friend. So here's some of the friends that we need to choose. Choose close friends who will challenge you and me mentally. Have a friend. And you ever have a friend that the worst thing we can ever do is have someone that's just like us? Would you want another you sitting there beside you, really, don't you? Like, in all fairness, would you? You're sitting there, yeah, I would. Like, actually, I actually think really high of myself. But show someone who has another way of thinking about things, and their opinion is as valid as your opinion. Someone that's like, have you ever read this? Have you ever done this? Listen to what Solomon says as well. He who walks with the wise becomes wise. So he who picks a friend intentionally that has, like, I just love people that are just that little bit quirky, do you? That is like, I'd have never looked at that scripture that way. And because of the way the word and the way God has made them, like, you know, hands up who was a questioner, who questions everything. You know, like, I don't know about that government, I don't know about this. And people sometimes come off in a way that is like, oh, they're always questioning everything. But I want to tell you, that is being wired into you by God. Now, it might be misdirected somehow. It might be filtered through bad experiences. But I love people that question everything, because I'm not a questioner, I'm an acceptor. I'm like, if you tell me a lie, if you tell me something, I'll believe it. Now, unless it's a bit dopey, you know, don't get me wrong. Because if you choose to show yourself a lawyer, that's down to you. But on my behalf, I'm like, well, they said it must be true. But if I'm a questioner, I don't know about that. But that's all right. As long as we're not imposing on somebody, that is all right. And I say, and Solomon says, and I agree with Solomon, that as iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen another man. That bring people into our life that will challenge us. Well, I'm looking at this situation this way. Well, have you ever thought of it this way? Says a friend, and now you're looking at the same situation through two different eyes and go, I never would have looked at that way. Instead of being just in our own world and looking at it through our own filters, that we choose friends that can stretch us mentally. I have a few friends that stretch me mentally. Truly stretch me. Choose a close friend who will support you emotionally. Because whether we like it or not, especially us men, we are emotional beings. The women express it, but it doesn't mean they own it alone. And for men and women, choose people who are able to support you emotionally. In times of trouble, in times of breakdown, in times when you can't make sense of this world or what's going on in your world, choose somebody in your world that will support you in that time. Listen to what Solomon says again. A friend loves at all times, and a brother born for adversity. You can have a friend all the time, and then trouble comes in your life, and a brother or a sister is born into your world through that adversity. Casual friends, church friends, whatever, friends on the football, friends on the running club or in the knitting club, and they're friends, and yet we're there and we support and they stretch me mentally, but then an adversity comes in your life and that friend goes from being a casual friend to being a life friend in adversity. Why? Because they're there to support you emotionally. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Bear one another's burdens. This is what a friend who supports you emotionally can do. A burden is anything that will weigh you down. And the kind of friend you want to be and the type of friend that you want to pursue is the type of friend who will help relieve you of burdens in times of adversity. That's good advice. A close friend that you need to look for is someone who will stretch you and strengthen you spiritually. Someone that will come in and stretch us and strengthen us and challenge us. Where are you at with your walk with God? Where are you at with your quiet time? Where are you at with relationship with God? Someone that will spur you on and encourage you. Here's what Paul says in Thessalonians. Encourage one another and build each other up. Have friends in your life that build you and strengthens you to become the person that God wants you to be. Do you ever walk into a room, because here's the opposite, and someone says, like, you need a haircut. Oh, thanks. Are you getting fat? Anyone got any of them? Bet you they're not the ones you go looking forward to having tea with. But I was like, oh, thank you. It's great to see you as well. Good to see you're doing well. Someone that is in your world, you choose these people. You choose them that I'm my friend. This is my want in a friend. And this is what I want to be as a friend. That when someone comes into my world, into my sphere, into my influence, I want them to go away blessed. I want them to be encouraged. I want to say something kind, something nice, because I want to tell you, we think this happens all over the world. We think this happens out there. Will you just go to work tomorrow and see who's there to build you up and strengthen you in your spiritual walk? So at least when we're in Christian relationship and Christian friendship and in church, that we should be the ones that at least say something kind and something nice, because I want to tell you, and I know you'll agree, is that most people, if not every person, is in the war somewhere. So let's just assume that somewhere in your world today, there's a war going on. Now, a kind word can strengthen a person. So to spur us on. So when we look around and say, here, how can I just encourage today? I'm assuming that there's a war going on somewhere. If it's not for you, it might be your children, it might be your health, it might be your family members, it might be extended. There's somewhere along the lines, there's some war going on in all of our words. And Paul's here. Here's what the church should be about. Spur one another on. Encourage one another. Keep going. You know what? I love this. 27 years of Christian. I've been knocked down, beaten down. You couldn't believe. And you know what? It's like God puts in you the bounce back ability factor. It's like you'd be bounced off the wall, but you're back. I love it. But that comes in the form. Some of that strengthening comes in the form of someone coming alongside you. And the biggest thing people would say to me, if we're going, or going somewhere with someone that just lost a grandson, a young man committed suicide, and I was going over his fingers, and me and Thomas was going over Tomo, and Tomo says, "What I say? What will we say?" He says, "I'm with you to hear what we say." I says, "You don't say that. You don't have to have all the magic words. Just being there. Just being there at times is more words than you could ever say, but we put ourselves under pressure. I don't want to say hello to that parent because I don't know what to say. Don't say that and just say hello. I'm thinking of you." I remember a friend of mine, her fella passed away, and it was in the flats. People were dying every week of HIV/AIDS up in Dalton's Barn where I grew up, and I've seen it again, Mary, and a fella had died a couple of weeks back, but I don't know where it was. I wasn't at the funeral, wasn't. And I seen her now a couple of weeks later on the bridge with someone else by the flats. And I was like, "Oh no, there's Mary. What will I say?" And I was in this dilemma of like walking towards her. If I say something, I might bring up all the pain of the last couple of weeks. And if I don't say something, she'd think I'm the worst person in the world. I didn't even acknowledge her fella's death and whatever. And this was building up. And as I got up to her, I looked at her and goes, "Hey, Mary." And I just kept walking that way, because I didn't know what to say. I didn't think, but like just standing there where I would have been enough for that. And Paul says, spur one another on. Choose somebody today. Be intentional about your encouragement. I'm going to find someone. I'm going to think of someone's name. Go down your contacts in your phone this week and let God. I'm telling you, God does this for me. Although one of my doctors wiped out all my phone numbers, by the way. I had my phone 16 years. Same number. I think there was 1,800 numbers on it. Gone. I was barking. And then I felt liberated. Okay. I like the liberated feeling rather than the barking feeling. Was that you acknowledging that was you, Neil? But I'd sit there just waiting on God, and I'd say, "Lord, give me something to send to somebody." And sure enough, every time you ask God, he gives you something. You just have to wait and listen. And I would send out the text, and people would come back and go, "Tebby, that was bang on. That was just right for me at this moment in my life," and whatever. I say, it's God, it's not you, it's God. Be intentional this week. Know that we're all in a war somewhere in our world. Send someone a text. Be intentional that I want to be that. I want a friend that would do that to me, but I want to be a friend that would do that for others. So instead of waiting for someone to do it for you, you just get on and do it. And what's the Bible say? That if you give, it will be given unto you. Press down, shake together, and running over. Just made that up myself. Be an encourager. So here's how we build healthy relationships and friendships. Here's the first thing we do to build healthy friendships. Get interested in other people. Don't allow our own troubles and our own circumstances to make us selfish in our conversations and in all of our doing. Get interested in other people. There's nothing worse than sitting with someone that just talks about themselves all the time, is it? Selfishness is a guarantee for loneliness. It's a guarantee. Solomon says this in Proverbs 18, unfriendly people care only about themselves. Unfriendly people. I'm not talking about people that are shy, I'm not talking about unfriendly people. People that are out of the way, unfriendly, are just interested in themselves. Paul says this, let each of you look out not only for our own interests, but also the interests of us, Philippians. Get interested in people. Challenge ourselves to talk to people and ask them questions about their life. What's your story? That's a great one. What's your story? One of the most powerful things we have to tell is our own story. Because it's our own. It's powerful. And when you ask someone the story, you learn a whole lot about them. And Paul says, don't only be interested in your own things, but be interested in other people's things. Second thing to build a healthy relationship and friendship is don't be a chronic complainer. Don't be a chronic complainer. Complainers drain the life out of you. And if we're that type of person, again, Lord, I haven't got fullness in this area because I always seem to be complaining. Ask him to heal you. Set you free. Give you something to be thankful about. Learn how to be thankful. Learn how to be. When I tell you that when you realize how lost and sinful you were, I want to tell you thankfulness is not a problem. I'm telling you, it's not a problem. When you realize how lost you were, well, then your foulness becomes your platform for thankfulness. That's why John Newton wrote the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. This is amazing. This is amazing. There's a half an hour just on your own with the Lord. Thank them for the cross. Thank them for the blood. Thank them for the nails. Thank them for walking the earth, showing us the Father, sending the Holy Spirit, filling us up with the Holy Spirit, teaching us how to pray, getting us up when we fall down. Young Sophie that teaches kids church downstairs brought a word to us this morning and talked about strengthening. And then Sophie comes in, she says, the Lord gave me a word about Samson this morning. Some of us need to hear this because I needed to hear this. And she says, Samson failed and failed and failed. And he broke his promises to God. But she said, then he asked God for strength and God gave it to him. You know why? Because even when we don't keep our promises, God is always a promise keeper. There's a word. There's another half an hour of thankfulness. That God always keeps his promises. And you start quoting his promises. And I want to tell you, start getting into God's stuff. Thanks, girls, for looking after the tea. And they're going to set up for air coffee when we go down. Thank you. They're not running out because of bad sound. Just letting you know that. Don't be a chronic complainer. Paul says in Philippians, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Do everything. Would you like to be a person that you can do everything without complaining or arguing? I think it's available because it would not be in the Bible if it wasn't. Be a good listener. You know that old saying, why did God give us two ears and one mouth? So we'd listen twice as much as we speak. Be a good listener. James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. I'm a talker. I have to learn how to listen. But I want to tell you, I know people that are listeners and they hear more than I've ever heard. I walk away, why are you not saying mean this then? No, because I was actually listening. How would you do that? Make sure you get what they're saying. Repeat it back to them. Say something in the conversation that is meaningful to what they had said to you so that you know you're listening and they know you're listening. Be a good listener. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw out that water. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man or woman of understanding will draw out what people are saying. Fourth thing about building healthy relationship, accept people unconditionally. I know this is where I'm good at. Maybe the best listener. We make a confession, I want to say it again. We accept every person that walks through that door. We don't care what your baggage is. We don't care what your sin is. We don't care what your background is. We don't care because we have confidence that God can change you into a new person. We're not afraid of sin. We're not afraid of people's mess, because we have a God who changes the mess and changes the mess into a message and sends us out as a messenger to the other people that are in mess about the message that brings wholeness to people. But we have to learn to accept people unconditionally. And if we're looking for good friends, that's a good place to start. That we've equal time for everyone. Because people watch you and me and how we treat other people. Love people unconditionally. Paul says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Now there's a good starter. So who am I to reject? Who am I to not accept where people are coming from? When he accepted me where I've come from. I remember a good friend of mine. I grew up in Dalton's Bar in Paul Cook. And at one stage in his life, I would say I was probably his sole friend, just because he'd been ravaged in other areas. And he came up to our building. He was homeless at this stage. This was way back up in Rialto. And God says, Noel, I will judge this church. I will measure this church, based on the way you treat people like Paul. Not the one that's all cleaned up and rich. Because I won't measure on that. I'll measure on how you'll treat people that life is not good for right now. How you'll accept people. And I used to think the word the Lord used was judge, but it wasn't, it was measure. I'll measure this judge. And years later, I started thinking about it again. And this is what God gave me in that. The prophet Ezekiel goes out into the water of God, where everything the river touches, of God's river touches, brings life. And he goes out 1,000 cubits. And then says he measured another 1,000 and another 1,000. And the Lord says, the level and depth of my love I can pour into this church is based on how you'll treat people like him. So guys, treat everybody well. If you want to represent me and you want to represent this church, treat everyone well. It takes nothing to be kind to people, believe me. It takes nothing to give a kind word. It takes nothing to shake a hand. It doesn't cost us anything, but it gives a whole lot. It doesn't cost us. And I tell you what, you're kind to people on the way up, they'll be kind to you on your way down. There's people that you'll step over today will be your boss tomorrow. You're kind when they're at that level of employee, they'll be kind to you when they're at that level of employee. The Bible has it all. Help people feel significant. Want to be a good friend? Let's tell each other, you know what, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose. You are born with design. You are born with something in your life. Be sympathetic. Stick with each other at all times, especially in the tough times. Sticking with each other. You want to be a friend? Stick with a friend. Be someone that brings someone into the things of God. Share Christ with people. If you want to be a good friend, share Christ. What is Jesus saying to you about other people? I went through those last two very quickly. I'll just go back and help people feel significant. Honor one another because you are significant. Because you've been created by God with a purpose. Sixth thing is, be sympathetic. Paul said brilliant things in Romans. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Being sympathetic is not just when people are on the down, but it's when people are celebrating. Because some of the hardest things for people to do is to celebrate another person's win. It really is. When someone else is successful in their country, we go, who do they think they are? You know, we can be sympathetic with other things that are when people lose a loved one, when they lose a job, we can be. But the hardest thing in this country, it seems to be sympathetic when someone's having a great time. We nearly want to be some of the ones to help pull them back down into the other one. We celebrate every win, every course, everything that you do. We want to celebrate one another. We want to celebrate. We want to be sympathetic. Be a joint. Be at one way while they're going through either struggles or successes. And Paul says, if they're rejoicing, you rejoice. Brilliant, wouldn't it? Why just celebrate? 17, to build a healthy friendship, is stick with them in tough times. Solomon says, there are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is friends who stick closer than a brother. There are friends that are there when the good times are there,
then there's friends who stick closer than a brother. I think we want to be that type of friend. Lord, help us to be that type of friend. And Solomon, in the end of his life, this is the conclusions, near the end of his life, comes to conclusions. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one. Because if one falls down, his friend will help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. He's coming, imagine all the refinery and all the people that were around Solomon. People came from other nations just to sit with this man, just to see of what God had done in his life and the wealth and the wisdom that he had. And he comes to a conclusion. Imagine having all that. There's a lot going on there when you have that amount of wealth. There's a lot of people in your world that are there for, not for you, put it that way. He says, what I've learned in all of my years is that two are better than one. Because if a man falls down, his friend can pick him up. Make sure you have at least one friend in your life. You're only able to have that type of relationship with two or three people. So you can't be everyone's friend at these levels. So pick your friends that you want to be at this level wisely. So that when we give them our hearts, when we give them the deepest things of who we are, we know they're in safe hands. You can't do that with everybody. You'd be mad to. And the 8th thing is to share Jesus with them. Be a friend. If they don't know Jesus, live a life so they'll ask you a question about who he is. Look for an opportunity to say, look, I don't know where you're at in this world, but I know everyone's going through a war. And I know someone who brings peace in the midst of war. I know someone who's there in the storm. I know someone who can take you out of a storm. I know someone who can bring healing into your family. That we get an opportunity, we take the opportunity to share Christ. Two friends in the Bible. If the worship team will come back, we've a good few minutes to do some worship. Two friends in the Bible were in ministry together. And if you just use your imagination with me for a moment, their name, Silas and Paul. And Paul is the one that Jesus knocked down because he was killing the church. He was killing people that were Christians. And Paul has an encounter with Jesus and he becomes this radical follower and lover of God. And so anyway, there he goes, he's in ministry and all that stuff. And there's a girl walking beside him in a town, in a city. And it was Philippi. And she's a fortune teller. People are using her to tell fortunes and all this stuff. And this will give you some understanding where all that world is at. And she kept following Paul and Silas, men of God. And then Paul just got fed up. And he says to the girl, he just starts speaking, not to the girl, but what was operating in the girl, which was a demon. And he says, he cast the demon out in the name of Jesus. So the insight that gives us is that it's her using psychic powers was a real thing. But there's two power bases in this world that we'll experience. One is the kingdom of light, and one is the kingdom of darkness. And psychic stuff is out of the kingdom of darkness. And when the darkness encountered the light, the darkness lost. Because light always overcomes darkness. When there's ever a collision, I want to tell you, light will win. And he cast the devil over, and he ended up the owner of the girl with the demon that was telling fortunes, got them locked up in prison. And they got put in, not only into the cell that was like at the front of the prison, but the Bible says they got put into the deepest dungeon, chamber. Now, this wasn't like you go up to a prison today and you walk in and there's tiles on the floor. You have to understand, this was a pit. So, you know, it wasn't like, oh, look at nice cream walls. It was like, no, you're in a pit. You're really in prison. And so they're there. Two friends had done ministry together. Now they're in adversity. Now there's something going on. Their life was on the line. They got beaten, flogged, whipped. Like, just read it for yourself. Imagine sitting there. Imagine Paul was the one that was down. Imagine the Apostle Paul. He's 100 beaten. They said when Paul was finished his life as an old man, he was so broken from getting beaten alone that he used to walk bow-legged like that. Battered everywhere he went. There wasn't a place where he probably went that didn't leave blood or skin behind. Paul had skin in the game. So imagine he's like, Silas, I can't take this anymore. Silas, look at me back. Look at me legs. Silas, do you know I've been left abandoned, left for dead? Do you know that I've had no food? Do you know I was in the sea? Do you know I took so many beatings? Silas says, let me do something, Paul. See, two are better than one. What you mean when we do something? What can we do in a prison? Silas says, Paul, Jesus died on the cross for us. Your sin and my sin are forgiven. Do you remember the day he knocked you off on your back so that he could show you who he was? Do you remember the time I heard you sharing your testimony, Paul, and you told us that this Jesus spoke to you and told you the plans he has for you and told you to go to Straight Street and told you to sit there with Cornelius. And by the way, I know he blinded you, but he got Cornelius to pray with you and your blindness was gone. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
What was that like, Paul? Paul says, I was going along. I was there when Stephen got killed. The apostle Stephen got killed. I held that cross while they stoned the man of God to death. I seen his face when he looked up into heaven. His body was there, but he could see into heaven. I was there. I got letters to go and put all the Christians in prisons. That was me. But one day, Jesus met me on the road and knocked me off my horse and knocked me on my back so I could stand up a different man. What was that like? Well, he says, in this way he describes himself, he says, it was a brilliant light shone all around me. And I heard the voice. And other people that was there heard thunder, but he heard the voice of God. There's people that will say, God will speak to me. And there's the same people in the same church and the same people say, I didn't hear, I only heard thunder. To tune your ear to God. And then he's telling his testimony somewhere else to Felix or someone like that. And then he says, and what was it like when God came to you? I want to tell you, there wasn't just a brilliant light. This light was brighter than the sun. And as Paul is doing, Silas is encouraging. I know what we'll do, Paul says. Maybe. Come on, we sing a song. Come on, we sing. See, Paul wasn't singing, and Silas wasn't singing in prison for the breakthrough. They sang songs because to God, about God, to God, for God, through God, because that's what we do. They weren't waiting to go, hey, I have an idea for a breakthrough, let's just sing. They sang because they were singers to God. They were just being who they always were being, but Paul just needed a little bit of encouragement. Well, let's just be the worshippers of God. Don't wait till you're in trouble to be a worshipper. Don't wait till you're in trouble to be a person of faith. Build her up now. Be a worshipper of God now so that when times come, when you don't know what to do, just worship. Just fix your eyes on God, start lifting him up. Just get a little song in your heart. It doesn't have to be anything. You learned it could be just, you are great, Lord. You are great, Lord. You are amazing. Boast about who God is. And you know what happened when they start singing? That God did come, because God says he inhabits the praises of his people. He comes down and dwells in those type of praises. And the foundation of the prison was shook. And I'm telling you, there's foundations in our city and in our nation being shook by God. And there's more to come. But when the foundations were shook, the doors opened. The prison doors opened. That the prisoners that were in there, to think there's no way out of this, there's no way out of that. There's a lot of hopelessness. There's an epidemic of depression amongst their teenagers. And God is shaking the foundations, but not only that, but doors will be opened into different avenues of society that has never been opened to Christians. Because we have an answer. And the doors open, and who came out? The prisoners. Because one says to the other, when we do something, we're not just going to sit here and just lie in our self-pity, or our disappointment, feel sorry for ourselves. What are we going to do? We're going to sing. Foundations are shook. Doors are open. The jailer and his family became Christians. That God is shaking foundations to open doors, and people will be reached that we thought would never be reached. And our day is coming. I want you to remember this, 20 past 12. What date's today? 7th of June, 2015. God is shaking foundations. Doors will be open. And we'll have access to things that we never had access as believers. And people that we never thought would be saved will be saved in Jesus' name. And that happened because two friends, one of them encouraged each other.
Who knows the power that God, or the prayer, or the song that God has placed in you, that will be the one that will shake the foundation. Let's stand.
Thank you. So here's what we're going to do. We've 10 minutes and then our official time is over, and I thank you for your patience. I thank you for being soft people. I mean this. I want to tell you, I don't know about you. You probably said it was like pulling teeth. But you could be up here preaching or speaking and you feel like you're pulling teeth and you're sitting there thinking, yeah, we felt it was ours you were pulling. And then there's people that are soft and open to the Word of God. And they make you a better preacher than you could ever be. I want to say, you're that type of people. You want what God wants, and He will honor that in you. And Lord, we want to take these few moments to pray. First of all, Lord, would you make me a good friend? And Lord, would you help me to know who my good friends are? And I pray all that we've learned today, Lord. Hey, guys, you can apply that right now to your marriage. You can apply some of that to your best friend straight away. And we ask for your help in this, Lord. The Bible says that we are being transformed into the image of Jesus. That's God's goal, that we would be like Him and act like Him and do the things that He done. Not just the miracle stuff, but that's part of it. But I want to tell you, there's no greater friend than Jesus. And He's changing us into the image of Him. I'm like, I have the capacity to be the best friend ever. And I ask that you would help me to be that father. First to Sharon. And then to the other people that are in my circle, oh God. And I ask, Father, that those who are supposed to be in our circle, that you would point them out so that we can intentionally go after good friends. And that we would be all the things that we've learned, oh God. And anything that we're not, we'd come to you for transformation. So we take these couple of minutes, Lord, just to worship you in song. Just like Silas and Paul. What are we going to do? We've 10 minutes left. What are we going to do? Sing. Worship God. Fix our eyes back on Him.